Too many dead and gone, this shit is wrong. Most the niggas doing the killing, they probably know. Hating that he get him more paper, he back on. Damn, I miss my nigga, I wish that it wasn't fun. Damn, I miss my nigga, I wish that it wasn't fun. Welcome back to the Colossal Interview Series. We are absolutely blessed today with the chance to get Sandman himself up in the Colossal Interview Series. Welcome to the show, man. It is so great to have you here. Feel so blessed to have the chance to have you on the show. What's up? How's it going on?
Appreciate it. First and foremost, oh man, goddamn, Sandman. You know what I'm saying? When they hear that song, they know who about to come on that track. When they hear that right there. Yes, sir.
How about you introduce yourself a little bit to us? I mean, tell people what there is to know about Sandman. You know, how do you want to be known?
I want to be known as a rapper, spelled with a W. No, I'm playing, man. Look, man. hey, look, man. My name's Sandman, man. I'm from D.C. I go by the Mob Boss. I own New Mafia Entertainment. And we're a lifestyle. We're a family. The motto for New Mafia is just, man, you know, consistency, commitment, community, love, honor, and respect, and of course the money. And that's what New Mafia stands for, and I'm the forefront leader of that.
Where did those values come from? Were those established by you, or was that the whole team that established them?
they was established, of course, by me, but it was honored based off what you know really matters. Family, commitment, loyalty, respect, money. So it was based upon that, but it was I figured that out. I was like, man, we need a slogan. And I came up with that.
Works well. Yes, sir. Gets to the point. Hey,
appreciate y'all. Yes, sir.
Well, what is the recent, you know, or past year been like for you? You know, COVID's been around, but it doesn't seem like it stopped you at all. You know, you had Hopped Out, Jumped In, come out last year, absolute banger. Yeah. We've been listening to it ever since.
Hey, so, appreciate that.
What's this past year been like for you? How you been going at your work? What's your creative process been like?
Okay, well, in order to understand this past year, it first need to be understood that I had a big, big year before I got locked up. A lot of big things was happening for me. I was doing a lot of different stuff, and then I had to sit down for a minute. You know, my year before I came home from jail, like I said, I had a lot of things going. I had to do a year in jail. So coming out, I was completely lost. I knew exactly what I wanted to do, but I lost everything. I lost my building. I lost a lot of different little stuff that I was doing to help maintain things. And I had to readjust. And that was the hardest thing. How can I do this? How can I readjust? How can I hit this differently to assure that I don't never go in this situation again?
So when did you come home, if you don't mind me asking?
Of course you can ask. That's what this interview for. Hey, listen. Only thing I won't talk about is any case stuff, and I don't get locked up, and I don't got a lot of cases to talk about. So we good. We can talk about anything.
Good to know. Good to know. So yeah, when did you get out? Yeah, when did this process start?
I got locked up April 19, 2018. I came home April 19, 2019. I had to serve a year in jail. I had to serve a year in jail. First offense, for doing time, my first time doing a long stint of time. Before that, it was probably 3 months or so. But it was the first time I had to sit down. But because I was looking at 5 to 10 years, but because that was my very first charge and time getting locked up, the judge gave me a year. So the whole time I was sitting in jail, the first 3 months was, the hell am I doing in jail? What the fuck? And then after that, that's when you're like, okay, I see why I'm in jail. Okay, this is to remove a lot of people out of my life because I'm about to blow up. And if I have these people around me, I will lose it all because I'm going to give it to the same people that wasn't helping me, you know, put it out there amongst to the people. You know, you give and give and you give to people who don't really help you. You just be on autopilot. And sometimes you have to sit down to understand your purpose. And that's what I gained after doing my time in jail. That's why I said when I came out and how far I was able to go when I literally thought, damn, a year in jail, everybody gonna forget about me, I'm done. It didn't happen like that at all. Nowhere near at all.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's what COVID, and I mean, add on top of that,
a year sentence in jail. I mean, 2 years of, you know, the world stopping essentially for you.
Right.
And yeah. giving yourself right. a chance to sit down and understand, okay, what do I really have to do to make myself blow up and not have to worry about, you know, everybody else, you know, trying to get a piece of what you're doing or trying to claim, you know, responsibility for things. Like,
man,
all in your hands now. It's all in your hands.
You feel me? You feel me? And before I went to jail, I had business with my current partner with the marijuana farm that I was in and that I'm in currently. And it's legal. Everything's completely fine. It's legal. And that was the blessing. I knew it was something huge to literally catapult my tax bracket and my artistry to a whole nother level. But when I got locked up, I'm like, oh, man, they about to just move forward without me. You know, they just gonna say they don't. I even, man, look, it was so real that I even had my mom. I said, Mom, I need you to call some people for me. I said, I need you to get this phone. I'm gonna give you the unlock password. I need you to call these people and just ask them, tell them I'm getting out in 4 months and just ask them what's going on. When she called them, I'm talking about, this is a true story. When she called them, I had 4 months left in jail. He picked up the phone. I said, man, what's up with you, man? This Sandman, what's going on? Look, all I need to know is, are we straight when I get out, man, with that farm, with the business? His words verbatim. Yo, what the fuck you think we're going to do? Like, we're waiting for you, God. We got a lot of shit waiting for you. The farm is here. It's just waiting for you. That's I hung up that phone. I hung up that phone, and the last 4 months of my time in jail was like, oh, I can't wait to get out. I got a farm. Because I knew what that meant for my artistry career. I knew that I'd be able to fund myself more than any label could do. I knew that I'll be able to, I know the business. I teach people how to monetize their business with music. So I knew what I'll be able to do. So
you talked about loyalty and that, I mean, that's a perfect example of it right there.
You feel me?
That's dope. That's really dope, man.
He could have went anywhere, but he said, man, I like the way you carry yourself. I like your brand, and we would like to put money behind your brand. And in turn, we would like to also offer you a position into our legal farm.
Right.
And it was like, a what? And it literally all got built just off of conversation, talking, and loyalty. Them saying loyalty. That I'm a loyal dude. Them saying, hey, so
it's amazing. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of people you want around you. That's that. Type of people you want to surround yourself with the right people, and that's super important, and that's just awesome that you had that around you when you got out. That's exactly what you need.
That's exactly what I need, because now I'm about to do a lot of big things with my music, because I will have the capital to do so and the backing. I have invested, you know, people willing to invest in me. So hey, it's a lot about to come down, man. I'm just waiting for our first harvest. Like I said, when I did come home, all of my income, all of my money, anything I did make, I put it straight to the farm. Here, take that. I want ownership. So I ain't been putting out too much out with what I can do and go down. But just know, in a couple more months, y'all gonna say, "Oh, Sandman lit." Sandman is lit. I guarantee you say that.
I'm glad we're catching you now. Then, I mean,
that's what I was saying. We got whoever I was talking to. That's whoever I was talking to when we first was conversating and everything. That's you know, you're getting Sandman at a very, very vital point of his career, because after this, numbers is going up. I'm going to South India this summer, in like 2 more months. I have to go meet some people in South India. They're talking billboards, they're talking interviews, they're talking main shows that I'm mainstreaming and headlining.
Bro,
it's going to be huge. Yeah,
that's congratulations, man. That's so huge.
Thank you. Yeah. That's international, man. It's gonna be huge, that's huge. And then my producer, he's from the Netherlands. My producer, produced by J7, he's from the Netherlands. He's from Amsterdam, and I have to take a trip there right after I go to South Indy. So,
man, if you make a trip to Amsterdam, you can make a detour. I'm over in Paris. You can stop over.
For real?
Yeah. You in Paris? I'm in Paris, man, right listen. Now. Yeah.
I'm going to try to make that happen so we can do this all again, except we can do it differently when you see me with you and you interview me. And it really lets your 100%. Fans know and let your audience know that you guys are official.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Well, I might have to make the trip over too, man. I might have to come to Paris. Y'all got to let me know when you're linking up, man. I might have to make the trip over from D.C.
You definitely do that, because at that time, my branding and marketing will be off the roof. You know, all of that big money racks up to the end. That shit ain't, listen, that shit, don't get it confused. It's a lot of people that can do that, but it's about timing and it's about consistency. When you look at a lot of these rappers, you don't really see that too much no more now because of COVID and everything, because they can't do it. Yeah. But when you got somebody who's really invested in real business, oh, it's a nonstop. It's nonstop. And that's what's about to happen in two more months. Nonstop.
Let's delve into the music a little bit real quick. Let's talk about some of the stuff you've been putting out. Tell us about your latest single, because that came out in October. So it's been a few months now. It's been brewing. What's the reaction been? How you been pleased with the reaction of the people?
It's been amazing, actually. Like I said, you're getting Sandman at a critical stage of his career, because I've never put my music out that I know that I want to monetize. I've never put that out before, prior to me coming home from jail and really putting music out. But what Hopped Out Jumped In has been doing, considering this is the first time that I've had actual monetized music out versus something from SoundCloud, the reactions, just it amazed me, and it's still amazing, because it's like, wow. Like, I never really knew or had an understanding of if people would really take to my music. You see what I mean? Like SoundCloud, you're just putting it up and just whoever hear it, whoever play it, whoever leave a comment, you're like, okay, cool, that's what's up. But when you put your stuff out there for money and you see people actually buying some of your songs, you see people reposting your songs, and it's like, oh, wow, this is it. So what Hopped Out Jumped In did for me was solidify the fact that I can actually do this music, and I'm about to go even harder than before.
That's a big step. That's a big step for you.
It was.
That's going to be a big stepping stone, I imagine, for as we talked about, the next 2 months. I mean, that's going to be huge.
Right. Like, I'm sort of a perfectionist. I went to Duke Ellington. I played the cello. I played the piano. So music has been a part of me for a very long time. And the main key thing with that is wanting to be just right. I don't know if any of you guys played any instrument, but when you playing that instrument and then you mess up, it's like, oh, I messed up. So it's kind of in that sense for the music. I was just really concerned with putting my music out for so many years, because I wanted to not just mess up and just be an artist and say, oh, that's some trash. These are trash. So I perfected and perfected and perfected and perfected. So that's the only reason it's taken a long time for me to come out as an artist. But I've been doing music since I was 15. But I've just been perfecting and building catalog. That's one thing artists don't do. They don't know about that. I have a plethora of songs in the cut. Yeah. Guaranteed hits back to back to back to back to back to back.
How many songs do you think you got recorded that you haven't put out yet? What's your estimate?
Done, far as mixed and mastered, or just recorded and they just need to be mixed and mastered?
Let's do mix and mastered first.
Okay, with mixing and mastering, I'm actually in the process of trying to find a key engineer. I've had numerous engineers that I've worked with, but availability issues with these engineers, given that they're top tier, and they're like, sometimes it's not always the best to go with the best, or the one that's considered the best, because their workload sometimes can affect you if they're working with someone who may represent a more conducive means to their career.
And then so, high demand.
Thank you. So for instance, if you're with an engineer who works with Lil Wayne, 2 Chainz, DaBaby and all that, but you know him and you got connections, the odds of him mixing and engineering and mastering your music, you know, it's like, hey, I got you. No, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to take care of it. Yeah, no, I got it. And you'll probably get that for like 3 weeks. Yeah. Then you like, you know what, this not conducive. I'm supposed to have been putting my music out. I got it. So I've been going through a lot of that. Remember, I just came back home. So everything is in work in motion. So I'll say maybe about 10 to 15 songs done as far as mixing and mastering to my liking.
That's a good amount.
I feel is ready. Yeah, but the amount of songs that I recorded and that should have been mixed and mastered, had the engineers kind of been, you know, as work ethic as I was, I would probably have about 75 to 50 songs completely just ready. But as of right now, yeah, I have a very large amount of songs just sitting waiting to get worked on.
Yeah. That's dope. That's dope.
I want to dive into your musical past, I guess. I looked into you and your sort of your background. You mentioned that you were a cellist at the Duke Ellington School of Arts.
Yes, sir.
When I saw that, I was blown away that, you know,
a lot of people are. Yeah.
But it's crucial. It's crucial. I mean, playing an instrument, you know, it makes you so much more in tune about the music that you're making. You know, if you mess up once while you're playing an instrument, you know, I used to play the trombone back in high school.
You
mess up
the
once, man.
On people's faces, you like, oh,
and you're the villain. You're the villain. And so it's like,
villain.
It's really helped you. I mean, at least from what it sounds like and from your music, it sounds like that's really helped you make it so much more precise and make it a lot more, like mixed and mastered even before it even is.
Right.
Definitely. So I want to ask you a little bit more about that. You mentioned, I saw in an interview, or I guess in a little biopic of you, that you started playing the cello because your boy was playing viola and you wanted to like go play with him. You know, you just wanted to keep him company.
Yeah. Basically, man, we were in sixth grade and he started playing the viola, and then I wanted to play the drum. So, you know, I was going to the music teacher like, okay, I'll do it, but I want to play the drum. And she trick bagged me. She said, if you'll play the drums, we'll set you up to play the drums. But first, just give this a try just to see if you like it. But we're going to set it up so you can play drums and all that. That turned into about 6 to 8 years of playing the cello.
I was the same with the trombone, man. I was the same with the trombone. I wanted to play saxophone, and he was like, yo, there's too many alto saxes. You can go play trombone for a bit, and then once a few of them drop out, we'll let you come in. Never let me play sax again, man. I played trombone for 6 straight years. Never got a chance to play the sax.
You see how that go? Yeah,
they didn't teach us how you're finessing us.
Yeah, out here finessing, but it was a finesse that, you know, truly paved the way for my life.
For real.
If I'd have went to Duke Ellington without having a musical background, I would have went for art and for drawing. I'm not as, you know, nice as I used to be because, of course, that's not something I still practice. However, I was really good. I had pictures in the Corcoran Art Museum of an egret. I had a lot of my work, like I was in an art program in school in sixth and seventh grade. And that's what I wanted to go to Duke for. But my teacher, she again was like, I think you should try to go for music. You play really nice for the cello. And truthfully speaking, we're going to keep it real. There's not a lot of black cellists. And she was like, you're from Southeast DC and you're a black cellist. She's like, I really think this will be very, very conducive to your life. So
do you still play the cello at all now?
I don't, but just like I'm sure you have, because you play the trombone, it's always those jitters that like, I'm about to buy a cello. I'm about to buy a cello. I want to practice my instrument. I want to get back. I'm about to play the cello again. So I think I'm about to invest in my own cello and just go and start back practicing again, just to keep it going. Because I had a little idea when I was young. I'm going to tell you about this, and I may still do it. You're the first and only person that's ever heard of it. My idea was to basically have like a, let's say a BET performance, just for the sake of it. I wanted to have a performance and everyone come out in like masks and certain clothing. And while we're playing certain songs, you know, the pianist, they go on their solo, the drummer go on the solo, and then the cellist just sit there, he goes on his solo, and it's real, real extravagant, and everyone stands up, they're clapping and all that, and I stand up, I take the mask off, they go even more crazy, I grab the mic, then I start rocking the song, like Hopped Out, Jumped In, that's played in the classical. Listen,
That would be insane. That would be an iconic performance. Insane.
Who has done that? If you can tell me an artist that has done that, rap artist. You know, we know Alicia Keys can do it, but just tell me a rap artist that has done it. If you can name one.
I can't.
Yeah. So and this like was at you, 15. At 15, I had the idea to do this. That's how much of like a business savvy type of mindset I've always had with the music, and understood that this would be a dynamic thing that I did if I did it.
What took you from, I guess, being a cellist to then wanting to rap? What was the turning point?
I wanted to rap since I was like 8 years old, 9 years old, listening to Bone Thugs and Harmony and Crucial Conflict. Those were the only people I listened to. I didn't want to listen to anybody else. And then that's when 3-6 Mafia came out. And I'm like, dang. So Bone and 3-6 Mafia, Crucial Conflict stopped rapping. So it was just Bone and 3-6 Mafia. And that's all I used to listen to. All I used to listen to. And I practiced rap and music since I was probably like 7. And I really like started to really rap at 15 once I like went to Duke Ellington in 9th grade. Or 14 once I went to Duke Ellington in 9th grade.
You mentioned that it was a rap group that you first started out as, that it was other boys that were in the orchestra that also liked rapping, and so y'all got together and turned it into a group.
Okay, with that, it was actually one female and one male. The male came later, but he didn't last long. But me and the female, my late friend, who just died November 4th, I found out December 6th. It hurt me to death because I didn't even... Thank you. I appreciate that, man. Rest in peace. Twice. I didn't even get a chance to go to the funeral, help carry the casket or anything. So not to be a part of the person who made Sandman. Mm. It was a very significant time and part of my life. And this just happened last year, December, a few months ago. Mm. But her name was Twilight. Her real name, Cordelia, but we, you know, it's Twi and Twilight. Rest in peace, baby girl. But, she is the reason Sandman is here. She is the reason I'm around. She is the reason I rap. We both used to meet up in class and rap Bone Thugs and Harmony lyrics. That's all we did. We just rap. She'll take Crazy Bone, I'll be Busy Bone, vice versa. That's all we did. And then it was like, hey, I think I can rap, man. I think I can rap. I want to rap. And she said, yeah, I've always been too. And that's how it started. My name originally was Rush because I used to rap fast, all that stuff. I'm not gonna say I can't do it no more, but I haven't practiced it or written songs in that tempo. But I used to rap really fast. My name was Rush. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until later I became Sandman. But it was only one other guy, like I said, but he fell back later on. It was more so a hobby. But for her and I, we took it serious. It went past high school.
And you mentioned real quick that you said, you know, I don't write like that anymore, but I'm interested, you know, obviously don't tell everyone all your secrets, but I'm interested in your writing process. How does Sandman write a track? And then when he steps into the studio, steps into the booth, how does that process take place?
When I write a song, writing for me, it depends on the type of beat. If the beat really doesn't speak to me, but it's a nice beat, it can take me, you know, a nice little time to write the song, just because I'll write it, revisit it, just handling day-to-day stuff and just go back and forth, just revisiting the song. Mm-hmm. But if the song really speaks to me, the beat resonates, the melody, everything I hear, everything ticking and thinging and my ears just going crazy, and I just listen to the beat while I'm asleep. I listen to it while I'm laying there. I just sit there and listen to the beat. I could mess around and write, you know, many songs. Mm. It just put me in that mode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's normally the process of how I do it. I put the beat on. I let it play for a minute. I let it play to keep letting it play. If I can mumble a hook, I always mumble with the beat. Because I just get words that start slowly formulating when I'm mumbling.
Like a top line.
And then, right. And if it catches and I like how it catches and I like that I'm able to keep doing that with different beats or different flows, you know, I mean, not different beats, I'm sorry, different flows and cadences, you know, I may switch it up, but if it still sounds good, then all right, it's a beat I'm about to focus on. I'm about to write something.
Are you a hook first type of guy or a verse first type of guy? How do you like to structure your songs?
Interesting enough, I'm a hook first type of guy. I feel like when I'm writing, I want to tell the story. So whatever the hook is about, that is the basis of the story I'm going to tell. Mm-hmm. So basically the hook kind of helps me dictate where I'm going and how far I may take a certain type of path with what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. For instance, if the hook is involving like hopped out the cougar and jumped in the Jag, straight from the try to go meet with the man. They don't be busting plays, they be saying, say he's going to shoot me, I'm still where I stand. Now, like that hook is mainly talking about street shit and the street vibe. So my verse is gonna mostly be that. I'm not gonna start talking about club stuff.
Yeah.
You feel me? I'm not gonna be 100%. Talking about. So it helps me dictate like where I'm going at within the track. So I do the hook first.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Your versatility is incredibly impressive. I'll say that myself. In that,
thank you.
You know, you can rap about anything from, you know, like you said, street shit, but then it can also get to, you know, more vulnerable stuff and like your struggles with drugs and like your struggles with women and with hustling, with everything. Right. You know, you're able to talk about it all, but in such versatile ways. In that, like the people that are listening to it, you know, they can either get hyped to it. You know, I was bumping my head. Do you even just speak in that hook right there? 100%. Or they can actually relate to it. You know, like they can hear that and be like, oh wow, he's being vulnerable. He's telling us how he feels. You know, it's impressive to see an artist like you who can really like turn a place up, still be able to speak about himself and about like the feelings that are going on inside of you. I mean, that speaks to your versatility and your preparedness and ability as an artist.
To be perfectly honest with you guys, before I really understood what I wanted my brand to be based off of my reach, what I can talk about, my background and everything, before I really decided what my brand was going to be, dealing with, you know, the marijuana, the boss, CEO, big dog, big homie, before I really pushed that as my brand, I had struggles trying to figure out what I was going to be, for the simple fact, exactly what you said, I can kind of touch on, I'm more of a lyricist. I idolize lyrical rappers. Eminem was always one of my favorite rappers. And one of the main reasons is the man lyrically is just incredible. Mm-hmm. And I've always, you know, based a lot of my lyrics off of that, but I've also used to be on a more conscious type of thing. I have a brain. I'm smart. And I understand life. I understand the different things that's going on. I understand, you know, the white and the black. I understand everything that we went through. So I know how to rap more so on a conscious tip. So I was battled between how I would want to rap. I'm like, man, I can't just be a trap rapper rapping this trap stuff and turn around the next song talking like J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar type stuff. I'm like, oh, I got to figure out how to balance this. And that was a large struggle for me in my earlier years up until really finding a significant point within my brand. Like, this is me. Mm. This is what I can do. This is where I'm going to be able to make a stand. And I'll be able to speak to the people and, you know, tell them the conscious stuff, you know, the rights, the wrongs, what you shouldn't do, the good and the bad, you know.
When do you think you came to that realization as an artist? I mean, like, what was that turning point for you?
Yeah.
Probably in jail. I just recently realized what my main focus should be. So that's why I didn't put my early music out before, as far as mainstream, because if I put this out, then this is who I am. So if I put out the conscious rap, the more subtle rap, I can't ever be how I really live and what I really come from. Yeah. Now I come from the constant stuff and all that, but the realistic part, I'm from the trenches. I'm from the streets. I'm from you saying crackhead. I'm from you saying dope. I'm from the struggle. So that is what represents me. I'm not from a family that had Martin Luther King and the Malcolm X, the pictures and all that stuff. I look up to these people. These are the founders of, you know, what things are now. But I'm saying you have some families that really push that and people who really practice that. My family, before me, my mother and my father and my whole family, they was in the streets. It was the struggle. So I felt like that really was my brand, because I'm really from that and I can speak and talk about it so well. I could speak and talk about the other stuff, but I'm like, I don't feel like that would be a good brand for me, because I would have to keep up with that. It'd be easier for me to keep up with this.
Yeah, you're finding your lane, what you're best at. I mean, you know, there's other people that can talk about that stuff maybe better, but no one can talk about the topics you talk about now better than Sandman.
You feel me? I didn't want to jeopardize my brand because I'm confusing my people. Are you a trapped out soul rapper that's focused on saving people that still sell drugs, or are you? Well, who are you? Are you with you? It's too confusing. What you know about Sandman now, and it's much easier. You know what it is. You can look at my brand. You can look at my pictures. You can look at my demeanor. You can look at my posts. You can look at my story. It all represents a particular brand, and that's a boss, a mogul, a mentor, a businessman. You feel me? So I feel like just my everyday life is just easier to post and talk about and do than really, I mean, tapping in somewhere that I feel needs to be talked about. But that's not really me. I support it. I'm with it. You know what I mean? All day long, represent. You know what I mean? Yeah, shout out to all the people that talk on it. But you know what I mean? That's just not my... That's the same reason Young Dolph don't rap and talk about all of that. That's not his brand. That's not where he is. You feel me?
Yeah.
Not to just be throwing names out, but you know what I mean? I'm just giving a sense of my why.
Finding that cross-section between both your own brand, but then also who you are and, like, the art that represents you, I mean, that's the most important part. It seems like you have a good understanding of both what your brand is. You know, you got to get to the people. But also, you know, you want to give a part, a piece of yourself, and you want to be honest and true to yourself as well.
That's where a lot of artists feel at, and why a lot of their careers don't really last, because sometimes they live a life that's not dead. So I'm not going to try to be an artist that's really speaking on that, and then I'll have to change everything. I wouldn't be able to be around what I'm literally around based off just what it is. The car, the money, the female, the guns, drugs, the street, whatever it may be. That's what I came around. That's what I came up. I would have to leave all that. And so now I'm really trying to be something else just for the sake. So now they're like, what is your why? What are you doing it for, the money? Why are you doing it? So it's like, I'm not going, that's being fake. I'm going to be true to myself. I'm from the struggle. I'm from the trenches. There's people who need to hear these stories so they can know what not to do. I can save more lives this way. The same way, the same difference they saving lives with the conscious talk. I'm saving lives with the people, you know what I'm saying? Who want to know about what this type of drug is, or who want to know what not to do. Why should you do this? I'm saving the same difference.
I think the people want something, even if it's not a lifestyle that they can necessarily relate to, someone they can understand, someone that they know is being real. And I think you finding that is so important, and congratulations on that, man. That's going to be huge for you.
Man, I appreciate that, guy.
Well, we'll ask you the question that we ask all the artists that we bring on here. It's a question that usually gets out either a good story or a good response. So knowing who you are, knowing the character that you are, I'm assuming that you'll have a good answer for this too. So what's been your favorite moment of your entire career? I mean, it started back in sixth grade playing the cello, and now you're here today putting out amazing music, ready to take it to the next level. The long career of putting out music, of being you, of putting out your art. But we want to know what the top moment, your favorite moment of that entire process, that entire career has been.
That's a very, very, very deep question. Okay. Man, I will have to say one of the very first things that really made me feel like I want to do this, like I really, really want to do this, is back in 2015 when I linked up with my cousin who was managing Fed Trail, and we wound up doing a show. He wound up booking Young Thug for a show. And this was during Young Thug's Slime Season Tour 3. And he booked him for a show in Ohio for that. And I've been around a lot of different, you know, people with the music and everything a little bit before that. Not major, but just, you know, significant local people or stuff like that. But this one was the first time, you know, I was around an artist that I actually liked. And we weren't talking and kicking it and saying what's up. He didn't know me. He was there for the money and for the show. Okay. It's business. Okay. But he was there to the point that I was able to understand where I was at. You feel me? it was just like a big moment for me. Like, I'm right here with Young Thug and Fed Trail.
You know, realization moment. So,
yeah. It was just like it brought it all in. So that was one major significant moment. Another would be, just every time I just probably met, like within my career, it's not more so of a fan type of thing. It's more so of a significance of understanding that I'm making it. I'm moving. I'm inching step by step. So I would have to say, like, every single time that I've met and been around celebrity figures that I was able to meet, from Devin the Dude, from Hot Boy Turk, from Jacquees, man, it's so many names. I can Freaky Zeke from Pastor Troy, if I ain't say Pastor Troy. I've met quite a few different people, and just knowing that, wow, I'm right here, right next to him. Like, it's just showing, and I do music. I'm not just there as a entourage, as someone who just, you know, there just to be there to have fun. I'm actually there, like, representing my brand, and I'm shaking hands and people saying who I am, and they learning me. So it was like, yeah, those were some very significant points. You know what I mean? Every time I did that.
Yeah,
it's mystical too. Huge. Mystical. Mystical fun.
That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, putting yourself in the position to one, get your name out there, but also see that it's possible for people like you. And to see people that, you know, like, came from the same place, came from the same struggles, seeing them succeed and being able to, like, actually have a mentor. Right. I mean, you say how much of a mentor you are for a lot of people, but, like, mentors still got mentors, and, like, they still got learning to do from everybody above them. So that must have been a really real moment to both put in perspective for you that, you know, this is something that's possible. You know, I see people doing this. But then also the chance to just get your name out there, you know, meet these people. Like, these are people you could be working with, people you probably have worked with, I'm sure.
You feel me? So that's how that went. But yeah. But that was that's pretty much it for real. I feel like because of those opportunities, it's a lot of stuff that haven't really amazed me yet. I haven't gotten there yet, because I've already been around and seen so much stuff with the celebrities. Like, all right, so if I do, you know, anything else, go to a little event and probably somebody there, or, you know, anything, it's just like, I'm trying to do bigger. I've already did that. So it's like, other than those key things I just spoke on, it's really nothing too much else that's really happened. You know what I mean? Even though I put my songs out, and now I'm starting to see my music doing all the views, getting all the streams, I just put the rapping of the Spotify up, and that had 300-some thousand streams. That was a big significant moment for me.
Yeah.
But I was like, I in my mind, I'm like, nah, if I just did that, I gotta do better.
Keep going. Do
better.
More and more and more. Yeah.
I can do it better. Cause it's like, I don't have anything going too much right now far as on a list artist type of thing. You feel me? I'm not a little baby yet. I don't have nothing going with, but I got 300 some thousand streams. So imagine if I start hitting it harder and all that.
Yeah.
Just sets another benchmark.
And I'm just coming back out with it. I just came home in the 19th. I just put music out. You know what I mean? October last year.
Yep. That's the boss in you. That's the boss in you. Always wanting more. Always wanting more.
Yeah.
For real.
Absolutely.
Well, what can we expect from you in the next year? You know, we've got a big year ahead. At least it sounds like you're prepared to take this year over. So next year, if we check back in with you, March 28th, 2022, what are you going to say you've accomplished in that year?
Oh, man. This time next year, I can guarantee you, man, it will be a lot of things that I will be able to offer, as far as my music, my brand, my everything. Just everything. Like, you're gonna see a complete flip. You know, right now, what you're getting is just a small glimpse of what's about to come. But come next year, you know, the car, the clothes, the money, the location, that everything is going to start looking way more. Like, my page don't look like how I want it to look right now. I have something else in mind. So when you guys see this, like I say, I'm about to be taking trips out in South India. It's about to start. It's about to start. You know what I mean? Yes. So you're going to slowly start seeing, oh, man, Sandman is really, is it. It's over. The world's about to know.
Hell yeah.
And that's where I'm at with it. I plan on letting the world know.
Can we expect Lingo Pacino coming out anytime this year?
Lingo Pacino will definitely be coming out this year. I plan on having Lingo Pacino out by, say, July, August.
July, August. We'll mark it in our calendars. We'll be waiting to listen.
Yeah. Our eyes are open, well, our ears are peeled.
But in fact, I'm going to start the promotion in July and August. I probably don't drop it until like October around my birthday.
Cool.
Because I want to promote it for at least 3 months, 2 months. And I'm going to promote it with the videos. I'm going to go on like a little tour. You know, I'm going to try to put some billboards up, see if I can get. It's hard to get billboard space in DC. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. Mm. It's very hard. So, well, but I'm excited, trying to do, man, some big things.
We'll be listening closely. We're so Absolutely. Glad to have you on the show today, man. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks
You're an
so
amazing
much.
Character. Love. Amazing music. We can't wait to see what you do in this next year. We'll be right there by your side, waiting to listen. Here for contact whenever you need, man. If you ever need to reach out for any type of promotion, any type of talk, any type of advice, we're always here to talk, man. It's been great having you on. Thank you so much for coming, man. Sandman.
Hey, you guys been love, man. I appreciate your energy. You did an amazing job. You asked the right questions, and I can't wait to see this and share it and put it out there to the world. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Hell yes, man. Appreciate you coming on, bro. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Take it easy.
Hey, you too, man. Peace out.
All right. Peace.